Right now, we're going to be talking to Father Owen Kearns. He's a regular guest here on the show, The Thursday Show, where he is going to talk to us about the National Catholic Register, of which he is the publisher. One of the best Catholic papers out there. If not, let's just call it, let's go ahead and say it, the best Catholic paper out there. Father Owen Kearns, how are you?
Wonderful, Lino. How are you?
I'm doing good. Is that okay to call you the best Catholic paper out there? Are you okay with that?
Well, it's only being truthful.
www.ncregister.com is the website. You can check it out. How long is that going to be free for, Father Owen, that they can check out the articles and everything online for free?
Online for free this month, and then the new year, only for subscribers. So call up and get a free trial and subscribe.
Oh, really? So you guys are going to have to start pushing on this thing. NCRegister.com, that's where they can also find out where they can get a free trial?
Absolutely. Four free issues.
Four free issues. What is this, a weekly paper?
This is weekly, so that's a month. That's nice.
So you get a free. Now, can you just keep calling like every 4 weeks and saying I'd like another 4 weeks, please?
If you keep changing your name.
And your address, or just your name?
Oh, well, it would help both. A legal name change is always best.
All right. So you have to go through a lot of work. It might just be easier, you're thinking, to go ahead and just buy the paper.
Oh, yeah, not that expensive.
What does a subscription to the National Catholic Register cost?
$24.95 for 6 months.
That's a screaming deal.
Absolutely. Glad you see it that way, Lino.
So let's talk about a little bit of what's going on in that paper. What would be worth that kind of money? There's a lot of big stories in there. You didn't throw up a lot of softballs for the Christmas season, did you?
No, not at all. We're into the hard stuff. How the church is impacting society. That's our thing.
Wow, this one, let's get to this, the top story, at least on the website there at ncregister.com. Vatican backs call to action excommunications. Now, there's a word people might be surprised to hear, excommunications. The church still excommunicates.
The church, Lino, as you well know, is a communion. It's a communion of life and love, a communion of life and love with the communion of life and love that is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a communion of life and love. And our communion with that communion is guaranteed by communion with Christ, which is guaranteed by communion with the church, which is guaranteed by communion with the Pope and with the bishops who are in union with him. If you're not in communion with the Pope and with the bishops who are in union with him, you're not in the communion. And all that an excommunication is a declaration of that, a formal recognition. This person's views are at odds with what Catholics believe. So they're not in the Catholic communion.
That's a pretty scary thing. I'm grateful, you know, hosting a show here on the Catholic Channel. I have yet to be excommunicated, but it takes a long time, does it not? It's a long process, right?
Lino, you can't be excommunicated because you're the Catholic guy.
Well, I could be the excommunicated Catholic guy is my fear.
Well, that's true, yeah, if you're really bad.
I'm hoping not to be. We're here with Father Owen Kearns, the publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're discussing the story at the National Catholic Register's website, ncregister.com. Vatican backs call to action excommunications. And the story is based out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Bishop, Fabian Bruskowitz, had excommunicated some folks in a dissident group, and the Vatican upheld that. Were people surprised, do you think, Father Owen?
I don't think anybody was surprised. I think that the call to action people felt that it would be worth pursuing this, at least seeing if the Vatican would uphold it, because on their own website, they claim that they're not a schismatic group, in that they have not received any censure from the Vatican or any representative of the Vatican. That's no longer the case, by the way. And so they say there have been no pronouncements from church authorities in Rome against Call to Action or its members. That's on their website. They will now have to change that.
Okay, I'm not going to plug their website. I'm happy to plug ncregister.com. I'm not as comfortable plugging their website, if you're okay with that.
Fine.
Okay, good.
I just wanted
to check. So usually when you say the word website here on the Catholic, I like promoting people's websites. That one, unfortunately, does not get a plug. Somebody once told me this, and tell me what you think of this, is that the church doesn't necessarily excommunicate a person. A person really more excommunicates themselves by their actions. Does that sound fair, or was the person telling me that nuts?
Well, there are two types of excommunication. One is late sententiae, that means where it's automatic, the person excommunicates themselves by their actions, and the other is ferende sententiae, where the church has to declare it. Of course, the church doesn't usually declare that unless a person by their actions has deserved that. But it still distinguishes between those two kinds of excommunication. One is automatic. Like if you try to assassinate the Pope, you are automatically excommunicated. There's no need for a declaration that you've placed yourself outside of the Catholic communion.
That seems fair. The church seems to be playing within the rules there on that one. That seems about right. So, yeah, but then there'd be the other one where it wouldn't be as clear or obvious, and that's when what you're saying, the church, the Vatican actually states formally that you are excommunicated.
Correct.
All right. And that's in Bishop Fabian Bruskowitz's Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska. Do you think there'd be any trends like this, Father Owen Kearns? Do you think that is that what they're hoping for, are more trends where dissident groups would be excommunicated, or does Bishop Bruskowitz see this more as a, you know, this is a one-time deal?
I think Bishop Bruskowitz sees it as a one-time deal. His diocese is very special. It's very particular. The people are very united with their bishop. The priests are very united with their bishop. It's a very cohesive diocese. There's a lot of unity there that has been built up over the decades with Bishop Bruskowitz's predecessor and now with Bishop Bruskowitz. So it's a very tightly organized, it's a rural diocese, very close-knit, where the people are extremely supportive of their bishop, and they viewed this call-to-action membership as very disruptive of a very close-knit family. That would not be the case in many other dioceses, especially large archdioceses, where there isn't that close-knit sense of family. There's a lot more free-willing opinions going on. And Bishop Bruskowitz himself has said that he doesn't, he's not trying to send any message to his brother bishops, that he's not trying to dictate the course of action for other bishops. He took an action that, as the pastor, the shepherd of his diocese in conscience, he felt was needed, both for the members of these organizations themselves to invite them to reflect and to be serious and, if possible, to repent and come back to the obedience of the church. He actually spelled that out to the register. That was his primary intent. And the secondary intent was to prevent them luring people into an organization that has anti-Catholic aims, believing what they say on their website, that they're not, that there have been no pronouncements from church authorities in Rome against call to action. Well, that's no longer true. Bishop Bruskowitz has precipitated that Rome did, in fact, pronounce against call to action.
We're here with Father Owen Kearns, the publisher of the National Catholic Register. Their website is ncregister.com, one of the best Catholic papers, although some of us feel the best Catholic paper out there. I'm Lino Rulli, the Catholic Guy. This is the Catholic Channel on Sirius 159. Let's go to another one of these stories here, because since you're doing the hard-hitting news, you're not taking a break, even though it's the Christmas season, and we here at the Catholic Channel want to do the easy stories. You're taking the hard story, so we'll follow your lead on this, Father Kearns. Married priests back celibacy. So now this is an odd story. There are priests, there are Roman Catholic priests who are actually married. There's not a lot of them, but those who are the ones that are affirming celibacy for the Catholic priesthood, right?
That's correct.
Now that's a little odd.
Well, it may sound a little odd, but I met a married priest who was one of the first converts who was an Anglican priest married, and he was one of the first to take advantage of that indult of granted by Paul VI to married clergy from the Anglican rite or Episcopal rite and coming into the Catholic Church. He allowed them to remain married and to be ordained. By the way, the Church has never allowed anybody who was ordained to get married. We're never talking about marriage for priests. What we are only ever talking about in this issue is married men getting ordained as priests.
Right, and it's a very special situation. It's a unique situation. Does it need approval from the Vatican in order for this to happen?
Yes, Firstly, from the bishop, from the local bishop. And there is also a special organization, if you will, set up to help these men realize what's involved in this and to move this forward and to take care of them and to shepherd them as they discern. The major thing, Lino, about, and I was a vocation director for 16 years, helping young men to discern a call to the priesthood, is that in for Catholics, priesthood is a calling. It's not just a career. You can't just say, well, I have the qualities, I've done the study, so ordain me.
Right.
You have to discern, is this Christ's will for you, and is it the will of the church for you? So the bishops have to be involved in that. If you're in a religious community, religious superiors have to be involved in that. They have to discern, and that takes a long time. And that's the case with these married men who are discerning a call to priesthood also. But the priest that I met, his name was Father Paul, and his wife's name was Mildred. So he would say, I'm Father Paul, and this is my wife, Mildred. And then watch, in some cases, the astonishment on people's face. But what they told us was, many people would say, oh my gosh, that's just great. You're married and you're a priest, and that's the way to go. That's the wave of the future. And both Father Paul and his wife Mildred would say, we don't think so.
That's what's wild about us. They're like, no. It's like a vegetarian saying how great meat is. It sounds like a very odd thing for them to say, although it makes sense theologically. It sounds strange for the married priest to say, believe me, this isn't the way to go.
Well, they know that it's not the way to go for the majority. They know that, for example, just moving a married priest and his wife and children mean involvement in the school, friends, neighborhood, etc. There simply isn't the same ability to be able to move a married priest and his family that there is with a priest who's celibate. And they're very conscious of that. They're aware of that. And they're also conscious of the tensions that are there. Not necessarily bad tensions, but they're still tensions. And I remember Father Paul saying in front of his wife, Mildred, and she agreeing, that a priest is involved in a love affair that his wife can't share.
Hmm. That's,
and she
yeah,
was
tension.
Nodding her head in agreement with that. Yes, there's a part of my husband, his relationship with Christ, the priest, where he's configured to Christ, the priest, that I don't share that. I share the married man.
Right.
Who is a priest, and I uphold that, and I affirm that, and I accept also, and to my mind, it takes a woman of uncommon courage and dignity and grace to be the wife of a married priest.
We're here with Father Owen Kearns, the publisher of the National Catholic Register. I'm the Catholic guy, Lino Rulli. Now, I'm certainly not married. Father Owen Kearns is a priest who is also not married. So since you're not married, what do you do for Christmas? Is it a lonely time for a priest?
Well, certainly not.
I would hope not. I hope I'm not rubbing something. I don't want to be bringing up bad memories here. I'm hoping it's not a lonely time for you.
Not a lonely time. Au contraire, as we say.
Is that French?
Yes.
You're
me,
Irish.
To the contrary.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
I respect the French, though.
Okay, you're the one.
Wonderful culture.
Sure, we'll take your word for it on that. Oui. No, so what do you do? You're a priest. You don't have a family around this Christmas time. So what do you do around Christmas time?
Well, actually, at Christmas time, we're with the religious community. I'm with the Legionaries. And so I'll be in Cheshire with the religious community. I'll also help out at several parishes. So take some of the stress off my of the burden off my brother priests in the diocese here in Hartford. And also then I'll be going down to New York together with all the Legionaries in the Northeast Territory, where we'll have a Christmas course.
Well, we do the Catholic Channel. It's based out of New York, so feel free to stop by any time. Buy me lunch or dinner or something.
Sounds like a great idea. Maybe we can go Dutch on that.
Yeah, well, something like that. Boy, look at you. Dutch, French, Irish. You're going all over the place with these country things. The last question for you. Is Christmas celebrated differently here in the United States as it is in your homeland of Ireland?
Well, I have to say that media is kind of leveling culture across across countries, across the earth. So there isn't that great of a difference now. When I was growing up, Ireland was, at least in most people's mentality, a Catholic country. They're kind of very conscious nowadays in proclaiming that, well, it's not a Catholic country. It's a country with a majority of Catholic inhabitants, but that's it. And so for us and our family, we would always go to Mass first. That was the major thing. And then we come back and have breakfast, and then the tree.
What, you would,
the tree
you would,
and the presents.
You didn't eat the tree.
No.
Okay, you said breakfast, and I thought the tree, and then the tree, and I thought, oh, you could throw it away here in our country, but I was afraid you might have eaten it. Hey, every culture is different.
A candy cane tree, Lino, that's what it must have been.
Every country is different. I try to respect those differences. Father Owen Kearns, a publisher of the National Catholic Register, the website's www.ncregister.com. Check it out. Check the website out while it's free. Father Owen, thanks so much for being with us. Merry Christmas to you.
Lino, in Ireland, we always say Happy Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Merry is for gentlemen.
All right.
That's English.
All right, well,
Irish commoners wish you a Happy Christmas.
I'm clearly no gentleman, so a Happy Christmas to you too, Father Owen Kearns.
God bless our listeners.
All right, God bless you. That's Father Owen Kearns. National Catholic Register is the best Catholic newspaper out there, so check it out, www.ncregister.com. And now I know, a Happy Christmas to all.